Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 25 of Revelation chapter 9, and we're going to be reading verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And, of course, this is referring to the locusts, that they are the ones that had a king over them. And as we've been going verse by verse through Revelation chapter 9, we've seen that the locusts represent the true believers. They typify God's elect in the day of judgment. But now this verse tells us they had a king over them. And the king is said to be the angel of the bottomless pit. And then God gives the king a name. In the Hebrew, it's Abaddon, and in the Greek, it's Apollyon. Now, one of the first things that we need to keep in mind when coming to the Bible is to be on guard for traditional meanings or understandings that have been handed down through the centuries. And the church has, of course, been operating for almost 2,000 years, and they have spent a great deal of time teaching just about every book of the Bible, including the book of Revelation. And there are others, theologians, that have developed commentaries that have also commented on just about every verse of the Bible. And when it comes to Revelation 9:11, and when we read of the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Abaddon and Apollyon, we have to be on guard in another area as well, because there has been books written, fictional books, by John Bunyan, one of which was called Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's Progress is one of the most widely circulated works of fiction that the world has seen. And that means that a great many people have read it or heard it. And one of the main characters in that work of fiction is taken from this verse in Revelation 9:11. Abaddon and Apollyon, and it is said to be Satan. Satan is this destroyer. Satan is the one that comes after Pilgrim. He is Abaddon. He is Apollyon. And that is, once again, a work of fiction. That is not the teaching of the Bible. But theologians have agreed with that understanding. And even today, there are many that read this verse and they think it refers to Satan. And yet, as we have studied this chapter up to this point, we see the locusts are referring to the true believers, that Judgment Day is a time of God's judgment upon the wicked, including Satan. And Satan is not some monster destroying the wicked in the day of judgment, destroying the unsaved. God isn't using him that way at all. And so let's look at this verse with an open mind, with an open understanding, and we'll see what the Bible has to say. Now, first, they had a king over them. And they, again, is a reference to the locusts. And the locusts, of course, since they represent the true believers, do have a king. And that king is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is said to be the king of the Jews. He is the king of all of God's elect. We read in Revelation 15 in verse 3, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." The saints are a reference to those made holy by Christ, all that God has saved. And that's significant because we know that in the day of judgment, Christ Jesus comes with 10,000s of his saints, the king and his subjects, the king and the people of God. And so it's no problem for us to read in Revelation 9:11 that the locusts had a king over them. Of course we do. Of course we are servants of the Lord Jesus. Well, let's continue reading. "Which is the angel of the bottomless pit?" Now here is where people begin to go astray in their understanding. As soon as they read of this bottomless pit. And one reason is that, yes, Satan has some identification with this pit, with the bottomless pit. We know in Revelation 20 that he was bound by Christ and cast into the bottomless pit. We also know in Revelation 11, in verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." That he was loosed. That Satan, there called the beast, was loosed and ascended out of the bottomless pit. Well, yes, he was bound in it, and upon the action of Christ in loosing him, he ascended out of it. But does that make him the angel of it? Remember, the word angel is a word that means messenger. Many times in the Bible, we read of the angel of Jehovah, or the angel of the Lord, as it says in Matthew 1, verse 20. And that is someone who is representing, serving the Lord. And, of course, the angel of the Lord, the angel Jehovah, is Christ himself. It's another name for God. But since he's an angel of the Lord, he completely relates and identifies with the Lord. Or we read of Jesus in Malachi 3, where it says he is the messenger, and that's a translation of the same Hebrew word that's translated as oftentimes as angel. So we could say he is the angel of the covenant. Christ identifies with the covenant of God, the word of God. And so he is said to be an angel of the covenant. And we find this language, an angel of, used in connection with Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 13 and 14. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So there, as he's attempting to impersonate Christ, who is light, Satan is said to be an angel of light, because he is trying to be like Christ. And so we see an angel completely identifies with what he is said to be an angel of. Now, in this case, we have the angel of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit was where Satan was placed for his judgment, but actually it is the Lord Jesus Christ that was originally cast down into that pit from the foundation of the world, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ that rose victoriously from out of that pit, also before the world began, and it was therefore the Lord Jesus Christ who is the one who has come into the pit and gone out of the pit and even possesses the keys to the pit itself. He has the keys of hell and death. He is the one. Remember in Revelation chapter 9, early in the chapter, beginning of this chapter, where it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." This star that fell from heaven is referring to Jesus. He is the angel of the bottomless pit, the messenger of the pit. He is the one that identifies with this pit in the sense that he has endured it. He has overcome it. He is the one that places people in it, Satan himself. It was Christ who bound him. He is the one that looses Satan from the pit. And he is the one that possesses the key to open it in the day of judgment to bring the effects of hell upon the earth, to bring judgment upon mankind. There is no one that completely identifies and relates to the bottomless pit more than Jesus. And therefore, he is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, let's continue on in Revelation 9:11, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Abaddon, the Greek word here, is a transliteration of the Hebrew word, and it's Strong's number 3 in the Greek, and it's a transliteration of the Hebrew word number 11 in the Hebrew of Strong's Concordance, and that word Abaddon, and it's a fairly good transliteration. This is probably how we would pronounce the Hebrew word Abaddon. That word is used 6 times in the Old Testament, and it's a word that relates to hell and death. For instance, in Psalm 88, we won't look at every place, but we'll look at half of them. Psalm 88, verses 10 and 11. "Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction?" The word destruction is Abaddon. And notice it's speaking of death and the grave, and the grave, of course, is hell. And also in Proverbs 15, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "Hell and destruction are before Jehovah, how much more than the hearts of the children of men." And one more, Proverbs 27:20, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Hell and destruction. And remember what we learn when the Lord Jesus opened up the bottomless pit in the day of judgment on May 21, 2011, and began judgment day, the earth took upon itself the characteristic of death and hell. The fourth horseman, the pale horse, whose rider was death and hell. They are said to be ruling during this period of time. It is the time of God's wrath upon the unsaved, and of course destruction has everything to do with death and hell. That is, the final judgment of God is to be destroyed, to die forever, and to never live again, to never have conscious existence after one dies. Well, we read whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Apollyon is 623 in Strong's Concordance, and it's from 622, and it is a word that is often translated as destroy. So it basically means the same thing as Abaddon. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Abaddon, which means destruction. And let's look at a few places where Apollyon, or Apollami, 622, which Apollyon, 623, is derived from. In Matthew 10, it says in verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now notice here in Matthew 10:28, because this is important, we're reading of the angel of the bottomless pit, who's the king over the locusts, and his name, and the name identifies with his particular characteristic, is Abaddon and Apollyon. His name is destruction, or to destroy. Now, does that relate to God in the day of judgment? Why, of course it does. Matthew 10:28 warns us to fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's not speaking of Satan. Are we to fear Satan? Can Satan destroy soul and body? No. Who is the destroyer of soul and body in the day of judgment? It is God only. Only God is the one that brings that kind of destruction. Look in Matthew 21 in verses 40 and 41. "When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render unto him the fruits in their seasons." Now this is a parable explanation, or of a parable. And of course the Lord of the vineyard is Christ. And notice again, he will destroy those wicked men. Or look at Matthew 22. And another parable, beginning in verse 6, "And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." And once again, if we take time, which we won't, to look at the entire parable, the king is a reference to God. Who is doing the destroying of the enemies, of the wicked, those that have set themselves against the king? While the king is destroying those murderers, and this is what God does when he comes in judgment. So we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be shocked that the king over the locust, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, destruction, and in the Greek tongue, Apollyon, to destroy. After all, what is the context? What is the setting for this statement? And it is the final judgment of mankind. Is it a time for God to emphasize his love, his mercy, his grace? No. No, it's a time when he is destroying. It is a time when he is causing the wicked to perish and to be no more. And so, of course, the name of God, as God gives himself many names in the Bible, in this case is a name that identifies with the task at hand, that completely relates to God's purpose for the wicked in the day of judgment, which is to destroy them. Now let's just look at one last thing before we end our study. And that is to keep in mind that, again, this is said to be the angel of the bottomless pit. Well, let's look at a couple of references to the angel of the Lord. One in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles 21, beginning in verse 14. So Jehovah sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, Jehovah beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of Jehovah stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now the angel of Jehovah is another name for God, another name for Christ. And in this instance, the angel is doing the work of a destroyer. He killed 70,000 Israelites due to their unfaithfulness. And of course, we can see how in this relates to Revelation 9, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is destruction or the destroyer. And we can see how God, what he is doing in Revelation 9 in the day of judgment is not something foreign to him, something he has not done before. Look at Isaiah 37. In Isaiah chapter 37, it says in verse 36, then the angel of Jehovah went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. The angel of Jehovah destroyed the enemy army of 185,000 men in one night. Well, just one last place in Genesis 19, when we read of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember, who was it that went to Sodom? It was two angels. In Genesis 19, verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And then the account goes on, and we know from reading the previous chapter and Abraham's reaction to the three angels that visited him, that those three angels or messengers were a figure and a representation of eternal God himself. And two of the angels go to Sodom. And then we read in verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of Jehovah, and Jehovah has sent us to destroy it. The angels of Jehovah, God himself, have been sent by God to destroy Sodom. And Sodom can picture the world at the time of the end, when God destroyed the world of Noah's day with a flood, and when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he gave a historical example of what he would do in the day of judgment. And that is exactly what God is doing now. God is the angel of the bottomless pit, and he is using or taking to himself the name of Abaddon, the name of Apollyon. God is the destroyer.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.